talking about is Rabbi Yehuda Halevi has listed all of the unusual and exceptional advantages of Eretz Yisrael. He lists at least 9 statements of our rabbis to the point where the king says to him, and this is an extremely important point that's made by the king. King says in the second essay, 23rd chapter. Now, I'll tell you right away. No. That's what we're dealing with now. I'm taking you back. We're going to go back to that in a moment. Here. 23 is on page 99. Yes.
The question is that the Kuzarim, they came from the area where Craig and the Peyton Bride migrated to Vladimir and to Russia. And, also on a different strike, the Mughal Kramer people in Saudi Arabia, the field of powerful Jewish tribes to control that area. And like Saudi Arabia and the part of the Ukraine, the Jewish state before they got beaten.
I tell you, we happen to be in the middle of a particular subject. I don't have a clue.
Okay.
I don't begin to know what you're talking about. I feel under tremendous pressure right now to finish something that we've been dealing with already for 2 or 3 weeks. On page 99, number 23, after the Rav Yehuda Halevi has listed all of the great advantages of Eretz Yisrael and how unique and exceptional it is, so the king says, if this be so, you fall short of the duty laid down in your law by not endeavoring to reach that place. Now you understand? What he's saying is, and remember, Rav Yehuda Halevi is writing it, it will sound even better in Hebrew. In Cain, halo over ata al mitzvah hamuchuyevet lefi toratcha. If so, you are transgressing a mitzvah that you're obligated in according to your Torah, im encho ole el hamakom ahu, if you don't go on aliyah to that place. And you don't make it the place where you live and where you die. That's most probably, in addition to what we're reading at the end of the Sefer of Kuzri, this is a very clear enunciation of a mitzvah that you mechuyev the mitzvah to go on aliyah, which therefore brought us to a discussion of the whole debate with regard to the mitzvah of aliyah. We've studied, of course, the Rabbeinu Chaim in Tosafot, and we gave all of those who are opposed to what Rabbeinu Chaim and do not accept him lahalacha. We are in the middle of, nearly toward the end of the Megillat Esther. The Megillat Esther has made a number of points, and we've been going through the points of the Megillat Esther. The Megillat Esther is talking about the fact that the Rambam, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon, does not mention a mitzvah to go on aliyah. And that has been the subject of tremendous amount of literature over the years. So now, Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen made a number of points. And I think that we may have gone through nearly all of them. The first point that he made was that the mitzvah applied only during the days of Yahushua and David and as long as the first Beit HaMikdash stood. And after that, there's no mitzvah, and there will not be a mitzvah until Mashiach comes, until the time of Mashiach. And that's why the Rambam, he says, did not list it as a mitzvah. We rejected those words out of hand because that's not a way to explain the Rambam. The Rambam is the only one in whose code of law he lists all of the mitzvahs, even those that don't apply today, building of the Beis HaMikdash, all of the korbanos. So you cannot say about the Rambam that a mitzvah that does not apply in a particular period of time, he doesn't list. He lists hundreds, if not thousands, of halachot that don't apply today, but will apply when there'll be a Beit HaMikdash. So that's not a reason why the Rambam wouldn't list it. Rabbeinu Chaim went on to say, but there would, and not only is there no mitzvah according to the Rambam to go on Aliyah, he says it's a shtikal aveira too. What's the aveira of going on Aliyah? So he refers us to the shalosh shvos, the three oaths that was supposed to have been administered to the Jewish people and the nations of the world, that they shall not go up en masse. Jews should not go up en masse to Eretz Yisrael to conquer it, that they should not rebel against the nations of the world. Now, they're not rebelling against the nations of the world. It really has nothing to do, not so much to do with Aliyah. It means that wherever we live, in whatever country we are, we're supposed to be good, dutiful, abiding citizens. And then there was the third oath. The third oath is the oath that the nations of the world should not enslave us, not enslave us or treat us, mistreat us. I'm okay. Cell phones make me crazy. Cell phones make me crazy. In middle of shiurim, I said it so often, I just have to remember every time to say, turn the things off. All right, okay. Can't forget we're being filmed right now. Okay. So we talked about really it's one of the oaths. The one oath is the oath that we shall not go up en masse. And through the last 100 years, 150 years, there have been so many answers that have been given to this. There have been so many answers that have been given. I think we mentioned a number of them. One of them, and certainly the most significant of all, is in the event that we are given permission by the nations of the world, then we are permitted to go en masse to Eretz Yisrael. And of course, that in and of itself is miraculous, that the nations of the world, first the League of Nations, and then the United Nations, in fact designated Eretz Yisrael as the homeland for the Jews, is something that's so exceptional, so out of character for the nations of the world. A half an hour after the vote was taken at late success, you couldn't have gotten a majority to vote for it. There hasn't been another moment in history at which it could have happened. The Rav of Soloveitchik in his great essay, Kol Dodi Dofek, is the one who describes with such power. He says, who do you think banged on the gavel that day to open up that session in the United Nations? The Rabbeinu Shleilam. The Rabbeinu Shleilam. Us. That Russia and all of the satellites voted for it. I think it was by Yugoslavia that it became the majority was reached by Yugoslavia. It could never have happened before and it could never have happened afterwards. Which means the very fact that there was permission granted by the nations of the world is in and of itself a great miracle. And already the Ramban said it in his Perush in his commentary on Shir HaShirim. The Ramban says that the third return to Eretz Yisrael is going to be by permission granted by the nations of the world. The Ramban said it. The Vilna Goyen 250 years ago said that while the first entry into Eretz Yisrael was via conquest of Yehoshua, and the second entry was by permission of the nations of the world. Koresh, Cyrus gave permission for Jews to go. He was the nations of the world. Cyrus gave permission. So the Vilna Goyen says, words of prophecy, he said 250 years ago that the third time Jews return to Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be like Yehoshua and like Ezra and Nehemiah. Like Ezra and Nehemiah, there will be permission granted by the nations of the world. And like Yehoshua, that was conquest, we're going to have to fight for it too. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Just love, please. Toby, I read your letter yesterday. Does that give me...
Gives you the right question.
Anything I want. Yeah, what did you want to say?
I wanted to ask about this particular Gemara, because it's
Which Gemara?
The one about the oath.
We're talking about it now. That's what I'm talking about.
I want to know who said it in the Gemara.
It was said by Rabbi Zeir in the Gemara. It was said on three psukim in Shir Hashirim. Hishbati etchem benot Yerushalayim in toiru v'intoruru et ahavat shetechbas. So now we also said about the oaths, that the oaths are completely agadic in nature, not halachic. They are not quoted halachically by any of the codifiers. That the oaths, there's nobody who can say at what moment this took place. When did all of Israel gather and raise their right hands and took an oath? Furthermore, we can be sure, one of those oaths was supposedly administered to the nations of the world. When did the nations of the world ever take an oath not to enslave Jews? Where did they? Which means that the whole Gemara is agadic in nature. And in terms of agadic in nature, it was certainly good advice. It was certainly very good advice to the Jewish people. Don't rebel against the nations amongst whom you live. Don't be the first Bolsheviks and the first communists and the first who knows what, every hilarious organization that was out there for rebellion. Jews had to be the first ones. No! We were certainly being advised by our rabbis in this unique way. It's agadic rabbinic terminology that is truly beautiful. That says, listen, Zaynish Kanagonim, don't attempt to conquer Eretz Yisrael. If the conditions are not right, and they understood that obviously our rabbis understood that the only time that the conditions would be right is when the nations of the world would grant permission. Those two will come together at the same time. The next comment that's made by the Megillat Esther, the Ramban, Nachmanides, it said that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, when the rabbis talk about the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael, how unusual it is, they're talking about that mitzvah. So he says, no, the Megillat Esther says it's not talking about that mitzvah, it's talking about the time of the Beit HaMikdash. But if there's no Beit HaMikdash, there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. And then, of course, he also quoted the Gemara. We talked about this at the end of this year. Rabbi Yehuda, the one who said, "Kol ha'ole mi Bavel Eretz Yisrael, whoever goes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael transgresses a positive commandment." The words of Yirmiyahu, "Bavel o yuvo v'shama yiyu to Bavel, they should come, and there they will be." And I told you something that at the end of this year, I told you, Rav Kook, I just learned the Gemara yesterday. I came to it again. The Gemara asks on fragrant oils. Fragrances, what bracha do you make? So the Gemara says, borei minei besamim. Rabbi Yehuda says, borei shemen arzenu, the one who creates the oil of our land. So the Gemara says, oh, give me a break, in Aramaic. Don't tell me about Rabbi Yehuda. The chaviv olei Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is beloved by Rabbi Yehuda. This is the same Rabbi Yehuda who says that whoever goes on Aliyah from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael transgresses a commandment of Yirmiyahu, Bavel o yuvo, to Bavel you should come, v'shama yiyu. So I told you last week that Rav Kook says, he wasn't an Aturi Kartanik, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda wanted to force the hand of God. We're not going to Eretz Yisrael unless you take us back over there. On the contrary, it was chaviv olei Eretz Yisrael. And in a number of other brachas, he says, borei this artzeinu, borei that artzeinu. And then maybe one of the most difficult things with the Megillat Esther is the following. The Ramban, when the Ramban enunciates the mitzvah of going on Aliyah, the Ramban tells the story of a number of rabbis who left Eretz Yisrael. I think here are the words. I have the words of the Ramban. Lashon Sifri. The Sifri, that's the halachic and agadic Tanaidic, boy, that sounds good, huh? Elucidation to Sefer Devarim. And these are the end of the Ramban. Maaseh ben Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, the story is told about Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Rabbi Matya ben Cheresh, Rab Hananya ben Achirav Yeshua and Rabbi Natan, these four, Hayu Yotzin Chutz Laretz. They were on their way to Chutz Laretz. Higiu LePlatya. They came to a place called Platya. It's in some place around Akko or north of Akko. V'zochru et Eretz Yisrael. They're on their way out to Chutz Laretz and they remembered Eretz Yisrael. V'zochru et they named. They lifted their eyes and Zolgu Dimosein. Bajit, they began to cry. They began to weep as they stood poised to leave Eretz Yisrael. V'koru bigdehem, and they tore their garments. V'koru amikra hazen, they said the following pasuk. V'yirishtem otam, v'yishaftem baratzam, you shall cast them out of the land, and you shall live in the land, which they interpreted as meaning the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Amru, and then they made the great statement, Yeshivat Eretz Yisrael Shkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvahs. Living in Eretz Yisrael is equal to all other mitzvahs. This is the end of the Ramadan. So the Megillat Esther says from there's no proof that they tore their garments and they started crying because they don't have the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. They're going out to Chutz Laretz. You know why they tore their garments? Do you know why they cried? Do you know why tears came down their cheeks? Because there was no Beit HaMikdash. And therefore, that's what's bothering them. But there is no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Here the Mefarshim go to work on the Megillat Esther, and one after another they say, unfortunately, the Megillat Esther made a terrible mistake here. Because he never looked at the source of the Sifri. He knew the Sifri only from the words that are quoted in the Rambam. Anybody opens up a Chumash that has the Sifri and looks at this story will see that the concluding sentence of the story is V'chozru l'mekomam, they went back home. They turned around and they didn't leave Eretz Yisrael. The Megillat Esther is saying they're only crying about the fact that there's no Beit HaMikdash. It has nothing to do with living in Eretz Yisrael or not. He simply didn't see the text of the Sifri. And that's a very, very serious omission that he didn't see it. So therefore, for all intents and purposes, in the world of halacha, we do not accept the words of the Megillat Esther, who says that there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael today, and that's why the Rambam didn't list it. And it's fascinating to note those who do. In other words, there are those in the minority that have made a whole Torah on the Megillat Esther. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, why doesn't the Rambam indeed list the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? We have a problem. So the sheets that I gave you today, how do you like that? I gave you a sheet, and we're going to use it today. You understand? Just go to the numbers. You know we have it, those numbers, 1, you see, 1, 2, 3, okay? And then on the next page, you're going to have, what more are you going to have over there? You're going to have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You know what these 10 are? Different halachot in the Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam's great halachic work. Different halachot, and let's see what these halachot are. The number one is Hilchos Mezuzah. Hasocher Bayit b'Chutz Laretz, if you rent a house in Chutz Laretz, v'hador b'pundak b'Eretz Yisrael potah ben al-mezuzah lamed yom, aval hasocher Bayit b'Eretz Yisrael chayv mezuzah miyad. The law is the following. Everybody always knew that. You rent an apartment or a house in Chutz Laretz, you have 30 days to put up mezuzahs. Do you know that halacha does not apply in Eretz Yisrael? If you rent an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, you must have mezuzahs immediately, first night. You can't stay in the house until you have mezuzahs. And what is that based? What's the underpinning of that halacha? What's the difference there between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz? So the Gemara says that a person who rents in Chutz Laretz, renting in Chutz Laretz has about it the sense of transitoriness, temporary. In Eretz Yisrael, even if all you do is you rent, it immediately has the halacha of permanence, because there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So here the Rambam has paskin, the halacha, whose underpinning is that there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Number two is in Hilchos Shabbos. You buy a house in Eretz Yisrael from a guy. Halokeh bayit b'Eretz Yisrael min anochri. Mutar lo lomel anochri lichtav lo shtar b'Shabbos. There's a halacha in Hilchos Shabbos that amira l'nochri, telling a guy to do something I'm not permitted to do, is asr. I can't tell a guy to do a malacha on Shabbos. That's asr to me. There are a number of exceptions. And some of these exceptions you should know. One of the exceptions is if it's cold and your heater isn't working, or the hasakah wasn't put on, you're permitted to bring a guy into the house and say, could you please put that on for me? By the way, by the same token, if it's very hot and the air conditioning isn't on, you can tell the guy, please put on my air conditioning.
On Shabbos.
On Shabbos. And the Gemara says, because we are all, in a sense, cholim. We have a halach of a chola with regard to if it's cold and we don't have heat, or if it's very hot and we don't have anything cooling. So you're permitted to do that. Now there's another time when you're permitted to tell a guy to do a malach on Shabbos. I want to buy a house from a guy. I want to buy a piece of land, an apartment in Eretz Yisrael. I can tell him on Shabbos, write out a contract. And the Gemara, Rashi there says, why did our rabbis permit something of this? Because of mitzvahs yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Telling a guy to do something on Shabbos is prohibited by the law of our rabbis. Because of living in Eretz Yisrael, so here's a second halacha that the Rambam paskens that is completely dependent on the idea that there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Number three, you know the halacha already. Number three, is the halacha that husband or wife can coerce one another to go on aliyah, and if they don't, the one who refuses to go is going to have to pay a penalty. That's number three. And what is that halacha based? That whole halacha is based on the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of Shemitah. Ein shvi'at noheget ela b'Eretz Yisrael b'lvad. Shemitah is noheget Eretz Yisrael. Shenema ki tavo al haaretz. To know heged bein b'fnei habayit bein shelo b'fnei habayit. The Rama says Shemitah applies both in the time of the Beit HaMikdash and when there's no time. Even not in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. So what did the Megillat Esther say according to the Rambam? If according to the, as the Megillat Esther says according to the Rambam, when there is no Beit HaMikdash, there's no mitzvah and no kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, so how can the Rambam say that Shvius applies Bein b'fnei habayit, bein shelo b'fnei habayit. Number five, a fascinating halacha. Our rabbis prohibited raising behemoth daka, sheep, and chaya daka b'eretzol v'mokam hasadis akramin, el b'yadim u'bimidbarot sheb'eretz Yisrael. You weren't allowed to graze sheep in cultivated areas. You could only graze sheep in desert or in forests. Can't do it anyway. Why did our rabbis place a prohibition on grazing sheep any place in Eretz Yisrael? Because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, they didn't want the sheep eating up the produce of the land. Let's go. Some of them I have to explain too much. Let's go to number eight. Eved, Shalom Alalos Eretz Yisrael, a servant who says he wants to go on Aliyah. A servant, a slave, not a servant, a slave, says he wants to go on Aliyah. You know what the halacha is? Bezdin can coerce his master to take his whole family and go on Aliyah because of the slave. And if he doesn't want to go on Aliyah, you know what he's going to have to do? He's going to have to free his slave and make it possible for him to go on Aliyah. And look what's underlined over there, very important. V'din zeh b'chol zman. The halacha of an eved who wants to go on aliyah is at all times, even bizman hazeh shaharetz biyad akum, even when the land is in the hands of non-Jews. That means even when there is no Bet HaMikdash, there must be a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael according to the Rambam, because a slave can demand to be freed in order to go on aliyah. Number nine, here there are a whole series of halachas. Also, lotzeis me'eretz Yisrael l'chutz l'aretz la'olam. This is a special person who lives in Eretz Yisrael. He's not permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz Laretz unless he's going to study Torah, to marry, or he's going to save Jews from the Goyim. The Rambam obviously understood that Jews in Chutz Laretz are not going to be able to save themselves from Goyim. They're going to need a few tough guys with Uzis, you understand, who are going to go out, and that's a serious problem because they've stopped, I think last week they stopped making the Uzis. I don't know what Hollywood is going to do. A Secret Service agent around the president without an Uzi is can Secret Service agent nisht. There's going to be an Uzi too. Different name. All right. Yeah. The Yasin. All right. Okay. Strike that. All right? So the Rambam is saying, if it's also to go out of Eretz Yisrael, unless one of these, and by the way, it's also, the Rambam is also going to say Parnassah. Parnassah is a legitimate reason. If one can't make a Parnassah, it's a legitimate reason to leave Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Rambam does not differentiate between tying of Beit HaMikdash or not tying of Beit HaMikdash. He gives another example. On the next page, we have already some of the things that were said by the Kuzri and some of others. Gedolei Hachachomim hayu minashkin al tumei Eretz Yisrael, minashkin avonehu midgalgulim al afora. Great Chachomim would kiss Eretz Yisrael when they would arrive at its border. They would kiss her stones and roll in the earth. Amru Chacham said, "Kol Hashochin b'Eretz Yisrael, whoever dwells in Eretz Yisrael, avoy nosov mechulin, his sins are forgiven." Afilu horach ba arba ames zochel lechayel abba. Four ames, you go in Eretz Yisrael, you zochel lechayel abba. And then the idea that a person should live in Eretz Yisrael, even if it's a goyish neighborhood, and not live in Chutz Laretz, even if it's all Jewish. There's also this. I think people are aware of. There's a special mitzvah to make a Chanukat Habayit in Eretz Yisrael. Special mitzvah. You buy an apartment, you buy a house. Special mitzvah. There is a big shaila in halacha. There's a bracha to be said. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Matziv Gvul Almana. Matziv Gvul Almana means who reinstitutes the boundary of the widow. Who's called the widow? Eretz Yisrael without her children is called the widow. Every time a new house or a new apartment is dedicated, it's establishing with strength the boundaries of the almana. The akora is getting her children back. So there's a bracha to be said. But then there are a lot of machlekes who says the bracha under what circumstances. I had at least the opportunity to say the bracha b'shem u'malchus according to all of the poskim. Everybody agrees. You build a shul in Eretz Yisrael, then everybody agrees. A shul, a yeshiva, a beis medrash, everybody agrees you make the bracha. Shagi shalom, baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech olam matziv gvul almana. Then of course, you know, then there's other shtick you can do, but that you can even do a chutz laretz, you know. Put on a new suit and make a shechianu, you understand. But we're talking about a mitzvah unique to Eretz Yisrael. What have we done over here? We've shown that the Rambam has paskin 10 halachas that are all based on the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, yet he didn't list a mitzvah loshevet Eretz Yisrael. That's what he didn't do. So all of the literature on the Rambam revolves around this seeming paradox. So there are many achronim over the years who say the following. The Rambam, in his listing of the 613 mitzvahs, in his Sefer HaMitzvahs, he establishes 14 points, 14 principles, on which he decides whether a mitzvah is going to be included or not included in his listing of the mitzvahs. And one of them is a mitzvah kolelet. A mitzvah kolelet means an all-embracing mitzvah that expresses itself in different ways. So what the Rambam does when there is a mitzvah kolelet, an all-encompassing mitzvah, he will not write the all-encompassing mitzvah, but he's going to write its details in halacha. And from that you'll understand that there is a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz. That's what happened by mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. I mean, this is said by many of the achronim. And therefore he doesn't list the mitzvah. No, they don't buy not many who buy into the Megillat Esther that the Rambam holds that there's no mitzvah, because here we have these 10 halachas where the Rambam clearly is saying something that's based on only one thing, that there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. I feel it is banate even now, even when it's in the hands of Goyim. So that's one of the approaches. If you've been listening to my shiurim over the years, then you'll know that I developed an approach of my own. That I'll come to that in a moment. But the Chazon Ish, in one line in a letter of his, the Chazon Ish said, "Ukvar huchra'o ha-halacha." The halacha has already been decided, kedaat ha-rambam v'ha-ramban, like the opinion of Maimonides and Nachmanides, that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So instead, first of what the Chazon Ish has done over here, he says that there's no machloket Rambam and Ramban. It's not only the Ramban who says that it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but Ramban also holds the mitzvah. And that the halach is like them and not like anybody else. The opinions of those who said no, that there's no mitzvah to live here, for that matter there's an aveda to live here, the Chazon Ish rejects it in its entirety. And then he also makes a statement that from afar the situation here looks more difficult than it really is. I mean, that was an insight of the Chazon Ish over 50 years ago. That it always looks worse doesn't mean that it's good. By the way, it doesn't mean that it's good. The situation is not good here. The situation is not good. But that we can say to each other, but we don't have to go advertise that in Chutzar. It's not a good situation. But I hold that we're guilty of it. Guilty. I never liked the Spaniards, but if 12 million Spaniards can go out into the streets after a pigua, you understand, you can't get a minion to go out in the street here anymore. There was a time that we'd go into the streets after every attack. Right. All right, but we're not getting into that. I have on a number of occasions, quoted Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zechut Tzadik L'Rochu, whom I personally asked. And you know, when poor yeshiva bachim get conned into coming to my home for a Friday night meal, they don't know what's waiting for them. It's a trap. The only thing is, I've already mellowed over the years. My wife, boy, she goes after them with a passion. And you know, usually it comes down to the bottom. I go easy with them. I say, listen, you're trained and you've been taught that you have a shaila, you ask a godel b'Yisrael. And I want to know, did any of you ever ask your Rebbe or your Rashiva or your godel b'Yisrael whether you should live in Eretz Yisrael? And if you didn't, that's even worse, because it's not even a shaila by you. You understand? So I like telling them, you know, they take a look at me, the tzionistus, or shali the goy gomer. So I told them, I asked the shaila. I asked Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. I don't want the session was an hour and a half session with him, but the most significant part of that conversation was, and I'll say it in Yiddish. I always like saying it in Yiddish. And then eat your heart out if you don't know Yiddish until I repeat it in English. Rabbi Yaakov told me, "Reb Shalom, so listen. Echalt as a mitzvah heint, wie es is allemal gewen, zu weinen in Eretz Yisrael, und wollt ich gekent, wollt ich jetzt gegangen in Airport, a Rauf auf a Flugzeug, und gefahren in Eretz Yisrael. Aber ich kenne nicht." Reb Shalom, I want you to know it's a mitzvah today to live in Eretz Yisrael, as it always was. And if I would be able, I would go to the airport. Now, by the way, he was 90 years old when he told me that. I would go to the airport now, get on a plane, and go to Eretz Yisrael, but I can't. And the reason he told me that he can't, would he have asked me a shayla, I would have told him that's a legitimate reason not to go on Aliyah. You can be sure it was absolutely legitimate. I'm also fond of quoting the story, the apocryphal story that they say over in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman about the dude from Chutz Laretz who had spent a number of months in Chutz Laretz learning the whole sugya, all the shittas, yen mitzvah, not mitzvah, mitzvah, obligatory mitzvah, not obligatory mitzvah, and he comes there as a soul, all prepared to go through, to discuss with the gadol b'Yisrael the halacha of living in Eretz Yisrael. And he starts pouring out all of this Torah. And Rav Shlomo Zalman already sees this is going to be an endless recitation of everything that he has learned, and he stops him. And I can imagine Rav Shlomo Zalman doing it in his inimitable, edler way. He says, it's not important. Dude from Chutz Laretz is hurt to the quick. What do you mean it's not important? I've been studying this for months. I know all the Rishayim. I know all the Achrayim. It's not important. He says, just open up any place you want in Chumash and you'll see what Ritzon Hashem, what God's will is. His will is that you should live in Eretz Yisrael. So it really makes no difference whether it's Min HaTorah, whether it's Min HaRabbanan, whether it's Mitzvos Chasidus, whether it's a Rambam, doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. It's quite clear to anybody who learns Chumash that the Rebbe Shem wants Jews to live in Eretz Yisrael. Then, of course, there was the Or Sameach, and we had quoted the Or Sameach last week with regard to the oaths. With the Or Sameach, in a letter that he wrote in 1920, said that now that the nations of the world have granted permission for Jews to establish a home in Eretz Yisrael, Sor Pachad Hashvuos, those are his exact words, the fear of the oaths is gone. And you will recall, I quoted that Avram Shapira said, not only do we small people have to listen to Gedolim, Gedolim also have to listen to Gedolim. And once the Rav Meir Simcha Kamidvinsk made a statement of that sort, there should be nobody after that who will doubt what he says. Only one problem, and I'm going to take care of it quickly, though it's hours and hours that I can talk about it. Rav Moshe Feinstein, and then subsequently, really, or maybe even at the same time, Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik. They both have their position is that there isn't a mitzvah chiyuvit. There's no obligatory mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. No, you don't have to pick yourself up and go to Eretz Yisrael. But if you live here, then you fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. In a sense, he says it's like the mitzvah of tzitzis for a man. Mitzvah of tzitzis that if you don't have a garment of four corners, you don't really have to wear tzitzis. But if you have a garment of four corners, then you have to put tzitzis on it. Not obligatory. And then they write in this, Rav Herschel Schechter writes in the name of the Rav on the first page of Nimei HaRav. He writes that and he quotes it in the name of Rav Avishai David, who lives in Bet Shemesh, that he heard from the Rav. Now, I'm not going to do justice to this. It's quite clear from a halachic point of view, the overwhelming number of Rishonim and Achronim would disagree with this. Rav Avram Shapira wrote an article in which he disagrees with Rabbi Moshe, because he just doesn't understand the whole difference. A mitzvah is a mitzvah is a mitzvah. He doesn't understand the whole idea, this lumdish idea of it's not a mitzvah chiyuvit, it's not an obligatory mitzvah, but if you did it, it's a mitzvah. He doesn't buy it at all. Rabbi Avadi Yosef goes after Rabbi Moshe. Can't be. But my own approach has been one that I've developed over the years, and then I say this will take me hours, but I'm not. I say that as far as I'm concerned, Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuva and the opinion of Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. Me personally, and I think it should be for anybody else, absolutely amazing, terrific. I would only hope that the halacha would be like them. Because what it means is the following. When you come down to the bottom line, what it really means is that there is absolutely no coercion. You don't have to go to Eretz Yisrael. You know what that means? You don't have to go to Eretz Yisrael? You can fulfill God's will of your own free will. It's Ratzon Hashem. I'm going. Like I always prayed that I would be able to make the decision to go on Aliyah, not when my contract had come up for renewal and 99% of the board were opposed to me, and then I'd make the grand gesture before they vote on it. I'd make the grand gesture, you rats, you can't fire me. I'm going on Aliyah. They'd all breathe a sigh of relief. They'd make a greiser party for the rabbi and the rebbetzin going on Aliyah. They'd make speeches over there about how this rabbi served this community so selflessly. It would be great and everybody'd be happy and it would be good riddance to the rabbi. Right. So thank God the Rabbeinu Shleilem gave me this chus that while for all intents and purposes I had a lifetime contract, my contract was not coming up for renewal. That I was able to make the decision to go on Aliyah completely of my own free will. Now you should know that there are certain mitzvahs that are left to the free will of people is something that I can prove beyond any shadow of a doubt. One of the classic is the following. Remember, I was sitting at a Shabbos table with a good friend of mine, a rabbi in Chutz Laretz. Even some rabbis in Chutz Laretz are good friends of mine. We were singing Zmiris. Zmiris. And he starts waxing poetic. You know, we're in one of those mirrors we talk about Shabbos. Chemdas Hayamim. Oh, is he gone? Chemdas Hayamim. Chemdas Hayamim. I take a look at him. Listen, Rabbi. What about No de Lecha Hashem Elokeinu Al Shehin Chalto Lavo Yisteinu Eretz Chemda Tova Urechava? He stopped smiling. If I should stop smiling. But I hold that there's a halachic yisod in Eretz Chemda. And by the way, where do we get in benching, where do we get the idea of Eretz Chemda? Because in Tehillim, I believe it's Perek Pei Tet. David Melech describes the Meraglim as Moasu be'Eretz Chemda. They rejected a desirable land. You know what Eretz Chemda means? It should be a land that you desire. The commission doesn't want you, as I have described on a number of occasions. What would have happened if Rav Moshe would have tasked that you have to go on Aliyah? So most of the students, or many of the students, would simply have found another posek. Right? And then those who would remain faithful to Rav Moshe, they go into ABC Trading on the east side, you understand, around the corner from Tiferes Yerushalayim. And with tears in their eyes, they start ordering all of the appliances for their lift, you understand. You don't have a poor guy doesn't even know that most of those big fridges can't even fit into an Israeli apartment. Oh, 1,000 liter double, triple door fridge, understand, as big as the bedroom. And then, of course, a fiddle-free color TV. I remember when I came on Aliyah, that was what they were selling then. Fiddle-free color TVs. The question that it set itself completely. And then, of course, the traditional is you have to have a popcorn maker and an ice cream maker that usually end up in the machsan. I always said that if anybody would go through the Machsanim of Eretz Yisrael, you'd find tens of thousands of ice cream makers that Olim brought because they thought this is going to be the last chance in my life ever to have an ice cream maker. And they never used it. They never used it. The Rabbeinu Shem wants Jews to come to Eretz Yisrael because they want to be in Eretz Yisrael. Because this is Eretz Chemda. That's what he wants. And therefore the idea that there may not be an obligation, an obligatory mitzvah, is to me extremely significant. the Malbim. First two sentences of the Malbim on Parshas Truma. It says, V'yikhu li Truma, you should take unto me Truma. So he asks, why doesn't it say, V'yitnu li Truma? Why doesn't it say, you shall give to me Truma? It says, V'yikhu, those who are to receive it shall accept it. So the Malbim says, because God didn't want to obligate Jews to donate for his Mishkan. God wanted Jews to give for the construction of the Mishkan out of their own free will. In other words, the Rebbein Shalom is not going out on a building campaign, and they put up a big sign in the midbow with a thermometer, you know, we need 1 million shekels of silver, and as Jews brings, you know, fill in the thermometer. So you don't want to give for my Mishkan? Don't give. Don't give. I'm sorry. I don't want to coerce anybody. I don't want to coerce anybody. What he wanted was that it should be an act of absolute free will. Therefore, the Malbim says, it doesn't say, V'yitnu li truma, give for the Beis HaMikdash. It says, V'yikhu. V'yikhu means there should be stations, people who are appointed to receive the money. Because there are certain things that simply should not be required as an absolute divine imperative. I once used, with regard to this, a famous tshuva by Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, the Svidei Yesh, who asks, why don't we make a bracha on the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos? Asher Kedishanu Mitzvah on Purim, we send Manos. Asher Kedishanu Mitzvah Mitzivanu on Mishloach Manos. I'm not going to go through all the lambdas. But he says the following. He says if there would be a bracha, it would really empty the mitzvah of so much of its meaning. What's the purpose of Mishloach Manos? To show friendship. So now, if there's a bracha, you know what it means? It means the following. Truth is, I can't stand your sight. But I got a problem. I have to fulfill a mitzvah. And if I'm feeling, I have to give you, I'm going to give you an apple and an orange in Gates Brech Henton Feast. And I'm going to, Asher Kedishanu Mitzvah, Mitzivanu, he commanded me to give you Shalach Manas. So here, take the Shalach Manas. No. The Schidei says that Chazal wanted that the mitzvah should flow from an inner feeling, I want to create friendship. There are certain things that if you require them, you simply empty them of all meaning and all significance. I have another few mitzvahs on this list, but I'm not going to take you through them now. We'll save that for another time. And I hold it. That's why Eretz Yisrael is referred to in Tilim as Eretz Chemda. And by the way, if you don't say Eretz Chemda in benching, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. You have to say Eretz Chemda Tova Urechava. And you understand? And when it says Eretz Chemda Tova Urechava, I mean, it's not as wide as Texas, but Lashon Lavo, maybe it will be as wide as Texas. Or even in the small little Eretz Yisrael, there will be a sense of rachvus over here in this country. So it's Eretz Chemda Tova Urechava. Eretz Chemda means not. Nobody's supposed to meet. You know, the Rebbein Shem doesn't want people who come here crying their eyes out that this is not good and that's not good and the lifestyle bothers me and this bothers me and the Israelis, go live with Schwarzes in Holland, you understand, with Puerto Ricans on the east side, you know, that's okay. But no, it has to be something that you want. If you don't want it, then you have to ask yourself, why don't I want it? You have to ask yourself, what happened to that great longing and yearning for Eretz Yisrael that was part of the emotional baggage of Jews for 2,000 years? In 55 years that we have Eretz Yisrael, it's nearly been lost completely. It's unbelievable. And somebody has to study it, and I've studied it. I meet up with so many people. What? Live in Eretz Yisrael? What are you talking about? I mean, we have all sorts of, you know, if somebody lives in Arzei Habira, somebody's renting an apartment in Arzei Habira, the chances are they're here temporarily, you understand? I don't know what it is. I don't know where it went to. Did the Kashmirs of America so overwhelm Jews that they can't live without that lifestyle? What's the great lifestyle? Was Felton's dog? What are we missing over here? I don't understand. I don't know. My father would sit by a Shabbos table and push it, Zolgu Einov Demos. I remember my father crying when he talked about Eretz Yisrael. I wonder if there's somebody today in New York that cries when he talks about Eretz Yisrael. I don't know what happened to it. Wait, you'll go to the next. I know already. I can't agree with you because the next step is going to be the Rabbanim. All right. Anyway, the important thing is Chag Kosher V'Sameach.